don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew, here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. It's been a while. Again, we lied. I lied.
I'll you take lied.
That. I lied.
You promised.
I promised.
Lied. God, that was the last thing. He was abbreviating words like he was 13.
That feels like so long ago.
All men are 13-year-olds, Cody. Come on. I'm sorry, Allie. Come on.
We haven't spoken since RSL and Portland. Sporting Kansas City are still on top of the West by goal differential, which, by the way, is the best goal differential in MLS at 14, which matches the Red Bulls and Atlanta.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Thank you, Cody.
It's like a musical PSA or something.
I feel like I end up singing a lot on this podcast. Yeah,
you do background vocals a lot.
Yeah, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Okay, so the games are old at this point. We don't want to rehash too much, but Allie, give me a take from the RSL game that is not tired yet. And if it's tired, I'll mute you.
Pressure.
I mean, you didn't even give me time to think.
Yeah, exactly. That defeats the purpose.
Okay.
For which one?
RSL.
We spoke about it briefly. I thought that would stir enough.
No, we didn't. Can we skip me? I need a second to think about the actual
I wasn't
game.
Even going to ask anyone else.
You were just calling me out? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Belmar is not up to MLS par.
Yeah.
She even rhymed it.
I can kind of agree with that.
And I think if we went back, if listeners went back through old podcasts, I was championing for Belmar a lot, hoping that, even suggesting that Peter put him in over Rubio or get him in the game to switch it up more at the end of games, but don't feel that way.
Well, that was so we could get a look at him, and now we've got a look at
him.
And
now we've got our look.
So what was he not doing that would lead you to believe he is not MLS par Mr. Belmar?
It's not that I don't think he has the potential to be. I just think that there were some moments when he was out there where he looked like a step off. He wasn't always in the best position. I mean, I just, comparing him to what we've seen of Rubio even a little bit this season, I think that if Belmar is above Rubio in the power rankings for who's going in to sub out, you know.
Depth chart.
I couldn't think of what that was called. I was like, the bench, like, the depth chart.
The waiting list.
The waiting list. Nice. That was a good one, Dad. No. So, yeah, that he shouldn't be. Can I talk to someone? Talk.
I think they're just two different players. They have two different things. Belmar is going to be the really strong run at you kind of guy, and depending on which team and which defense you're going with against, that might be the guy. Rubio might be a more clinical finisher, even though he didn't show it in the last five games of last year. But he's not going to be like the high speed outrun everybody, because Belmar is like one of the fastest guys on the team, if not the fastest.
Well, here's my question then. Would you put Belmar in before you put Gerso in?
Different positions.
Not really. They're both wingers.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up, Cody. Ha!
Well, I thought
you should watch Shoah Park once in a while.
Yeah.
I should.
Allie's giving him a look.
So I watched last night. There was a lot of
soccer. Stop trying to cover your tracks.
There was a lot of soccer on last night.
There was
like last good
night
MLS
was an insane
on.
Night for soccer, but we're gonna finish it.
So no, I think that was my point. Oh. I was just
yeah. Well, no, you didn't answer my question.
What question?
Would you put Belmar in before you put Gerso in?
I think it would depend on who you're going against. Still, Gerso has better tricky moves than Belmar does at this point, but Belmar is stronger physically. So, I mean, he's not going to, if he gets chopped down, quite honestly, he's going to get back up and just run again. Gerso goes, might go down and need to be airlifted.
Speaking of Gerso, really quick, he cut me off on the highway the other day.
Was it on the way to training or where were you
no,
going?
No, I was on my way home from work. It was like, I don't know, maybe 6 o'clock on Tuesday or something. And I see this, like, because doesn't he drive?
I don't know.
Let's not say what he drives.
Okay, but... never mind. I'm not thinking clearly. He drives, beep. So this car cuts me off, and I, like, kind of get, I eventually get next to it, and I look over, I'm like, oh, my God, that's Gerso. So.
Were you giving him a look?
He gave you a really big smile and winked as he did it.
I know. It would have been, like, the nicest getting cut. And it wasn't, like, this dramatic cutoff. It was just kind of like, I could have used his blinker a little bit earlier.
I've had a similar experience. Russell cut me off on the way to training one morning because he didn't want to get fined, apparently. But he was in a big hurry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think he probably takes precedent in the parking lot. But, yeah. Anyway.
Gerso and Belmar, that's a good question.
I think Gerso's been very impressive in the last two games.
Okay. He has been.
He's still Gerso, but he's been very impressive.
Gerso is just so frustrating.
He is.
He's so, you see him do these things, and he's so clever and tricky, and he's got all these, the skills to, like, get around anyone. But then why doesn't it work? Why doesn't he score more? Why, like, where does he go wrong? Why is he not better?
He doesn't have that instinct in front of goal, I don't think. Just when he gets down in front of goal there, he just doesn't have that.
Because he's too nice.
I mean, let's look at even some of the goals he scored last year. What was that one run where he made where Dwyer played on that ball into space and he ended up finishing it with his outside of his left foot or something?
You might need to be near the microphone.
I try to demonstrate, though. He's just awkward with the way he tries to finish.
Yeah,
he's not a finisher.
But see, like, the play I'm thinking of when I praise him was... now I can't even... I guess it might have been the RSL game. He, like, cut inside the box and nutmegged someone, and then his only shot left to get on goal was just to, like, outside the foot it with his left foot. And he did, and, like, that was all great. And it looked like he could have just done that 10 more times that game. But he was nowhere else to be found like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's just something that, like, really frustrates me about him. It seems like he should be dominant, and he's not even close to
Fades in and out too much.
That would be the Portland game.
Oh, yeah, okay. But that was very good. I stood up and cheered at that point. And it was clever. The outside the foot was clever. And you can't be mad at him on that particular one for not scoring. But, yeah, there's something there that he can't – he's too nice. Thad whispered it earlier for some reason. He is. He's, like, too nice. And remember the goal he did score that just barely, like, creeped over the line?
Right. Yeah.
That was just – it was exactly
Atlanta.
While watching it, I think – everyone would agree with me that they're like, you kind of thought that wasn't going to go in, or like the way it went in was very Gerso.
He's definitely not a player who has one of those like shallowy or Russell style finishes where it was just like, that was a really good, like,
yeah, because the defender almost stopped that. I mean, it was like so close.
Gerso has had one really good left footed bomb, I think. It was this year, I think.
Yeah.
Earlier. Yeah. But that's been.
When was that?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been a while.
Maybe it wasn't this year. I don't know.
But he had some really good crosses in the Portland game. I mean, the one that Russell couldn't quite get his head on was an example, if you remember that one. He had a couple of really good ones. And, you know, that's improved, I think, over what he's been in the past as far as that goes.
One more thing for the RSL game. The youth players got all the headlines, and everyone talked about that. But Amor, I want to talk about Emiliano Amor, who played very well and didn't really get any attention. He kind of got washed over. I'm very pleased with him. I like that very much that we can... I feel cool resting either of our center backs at any time.
I worry about his lack of speed. But, you know, he does things that you don't notice that much. You know, he's clever, he's smart, but I do worry about his lack of speed.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, but
yeah.
His going forward was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, hopefully, you know, if he... they are resting Beasler this week, and if, say, they put in a Moore and it's with Oparo, luckily I think Oparo could balance them out there with the speed aspect at least. So.
Yeah, you know who's staying back in that pairing as well. But, no, Amor looked like he is good going forward. He looked like Beasler on the goal when he sent in Belmar on the assist. It was just a very confident, he stepped up and took three touches right into danger and just slid it right into a great spot. I loved that play. I loved it. And so did Ilya. Yeah, that was good. That warmed my heart. It was they were all celebrating over here, and Ilya just like beelined right for Amor and went to go cheer with him. It was good.
I think his pedigree is showing. I mean, he played a lot of games in Argentina. Yeah, he's a good player. He's got a good pedigree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Excited Let's to keep see him in a more.
Cody's starting a GoFundMe to pay his salary.
It is a loan.
I don't. Yeah, he can't be that expensive. Argentinians don't like defenders anyway, so get him. For
thought that was Brazilians.
Well, it's the same thing.
South Americans.
Tell them that.
They have the, no. I mean, they have the same philosophy when it comes to defense.
I think Argentina has.
If I have to, that's their philosophy. All right, if I have to, somebody's gotta.
Okay, Portland game. Thad, give me a quick take that's not tired, or I'll mute you.
I don't care if it's tired. I don't care what you do. How about that for a take?
Okay, no. Well, you're muted.
Shall we?
He's still mute. He's trying to talk right now. And he's muted. Okay, go ahead.
Pronounce it right, Thad. Come on.
Yeah, say Shallowy's name right.
Are you saying it right?
The second time I did.
Shallowy. I don't know if I'm saying it right or not, but I'm saying it a lot closer than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was not bad at center forward, except for the fact they couldn't get him the ball consistently in that game, and he wasn't strong enough to come get it. But part of that was probably that Portland stupid Christmas tree formation, four defenders, three midfielders right in front of it, the 4-3-2-1. So
if they you are look the at, Portland Christmas trees, I think.
Yeah. So if you look at the passing map, it's like everywhere except right into that center area where Shallowy would have been, where Kyrie would have went back and found the ball back in the midfield.
And then made those plays to the wings where he would have caught Shallowy on a run or Russell right outside on the
I think there's a conspiracy going on here.
Team Shelton, what?
Well, I've wanted to see Shallowy at center forward for a long time. It just seems like he's a guy on our team that actually has like the instinct to score.
Okay, here's where I cut in though. This is
I was about to say but too. But go ahead.
But too?
But why does it have to be that the center forward is the only one with a scoring instinct? Like, Daniel Shallowy has a scoring instinct. He just isn't the best at center forward, I don't think. Like, he can still have a scoring instinct and be on the wing. Like, what takes that away from him?
For me, he's just the most lethal we have on this team. And in theory, your striker is going to get the most looks. And
in front of goal.
But, yes, like I said, now that we have seen it, he seems to be better suited or at least more comfortable on the wing.
He is. He has said multiple times that he's more comfortable on the wing. He's not as strong as a lot of center forwards you'd want him to be, at least not at this point in his career. He likes having a line over there because this was actually before last year, he told me that he felt safer out there because he had the line to work with to like nobody's, you know, they're not going to be attacking him from behind, where he's like center forward, you know, you've got everybody coming from every direction kind of thing. So he liked it better out there. I know he's gotten more confidence, and I've asked him about that recently, about having more confidence as a center forward, and he says he's better at it now than he was, and he's okay at being there. He still prefers out wide, but the team learns how to play with him, playing him the ball differently than they would Kyrie, so playing it on the ground to his feet, mm-hmm. not to his head sort of thing.
Right.
It's probably the position that he's destined for.
Winger?
I think. No, center forward.
See, but that's what I was just saying. I always thought that too, but
eventually.
Yeah. He's definitely Why? A few years out
if he stays in MLS, I think that's your answer. Because MLS wingers are generally more athletic, faster, and that's what
Does everybody in MLS play the same system and have to play the same type of players?
No, but
the
Sporting
same
does.
Exact But this team evolves over time. This is not the same team it was just a couple of years ago with as high press, as physical, as right. fouling, and
but it's not that
else.
Much different either.
It's a lot more possession now than it was yeah. just
but still
two
the
or
same,
three years ago.
The wingers have to do the same job.
They have to be more skilled than they did before.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, they were just whipping it into some short yeah. guy in the middle. Now they're destined to score. So
destined to score.
Well,
what kind of bullshit phrase is
hopefully.
That?
I didn't quite mean it that way. That was just kind of the word I used. But, yeah, that's their job now is to be goal scorers, not just whipping it into the short guy
well,
in the
I
middle.
Think once he gets his man muscles, I think that's where he's destined to be.
But. Still doesn't have the man muscles.
Time will tell.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be required to be a center forward to be in this league for a few years. In fact, he keeps going.
Well, I didn't
the way
say
he
that. But
well, that's kind of what you're saying.
No,
isn't it?
I didn't say anything about required.
So that's what he was going to be because that's the way MLS would be.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
his.
Yeah.
So I'm changing your words a little bit, but that's why I'm changing your words to prove the wrongness of it.
Hmm? My girlfriend does that too.
Nice.
Thanks, honey.
The stat of the game is that Sporting Kansas City has now shut out Portland in 5 of their last 6 regular season visits to Providence Park.
Excellent news.
Except also mixed in there was the double post game, right?
God.
Like during that time was the double post loss in playoffs, so.
Now they have a bar called the Double Post or something. I don't know.
Yes,
screw
they
them.
Do.
Yeah.
And then this last game, didn't Chaloui play it right off the crossbar? I mean, like, just on the underside of the crossbar, but
yeah,
it
right.
came back
yep.
down, but not in?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, how yeah. did he kicked the ball up, and it came off of the post in a downward motion somehow.
The crossbar.
Yeah, or the crossbar, yeah. Yeah, yeah it was
that's
because
it goes
looking,
up and
it
comes
was,
down.
It was trippy looking, though.
Okay. I didn't think it was that trippy looking.
The camera angle was.
I think it's just bad turf in Portland causes it.
Any chance to complain about their turf, I'm here for.
So, I just threw that in so that we could be back on the same page again.
Well, at least they replace their turf more often than you know, that other place called Seattle, I think.
And then what's that thing that they do with the tree and the chainsaw? We didn't give them a reason to do that, did we?
No.
Like they don't do that unless they win or score.
They did at the end because it was a draw.
Yeah, they
I
did
think.
It anyway for a point.
That, oh
yeah,
my
yeah,
god,
yeah.
That's like the lamest thing I've ever heard.
I know. I didn't know that
like
they did that.
It's such a dramatic process, and it's like
wait,
if
they,
you're gonna do
they
that,
they give themselves a trophy for a draw.
No. They
apparently
they cut off a piece of the log.
No,
yeah.
I know. I know the drill. I mean, and quite honestly, I think it's kind of cool that they do it for each goal.
I think
yeah.
it is. Yeah.
And they give it to the goal scorer. I think that's cool. But to do it for a draw. That's like a participation trophy.
I think it's cool, but also
that's Portland.
But jeez. Also, like, where's Diego Valeri keeping all these things? How many does he have? How many goals has he scored for Portland?
That's a good question. Can build his own tree.
Some of those guys were like giving them away as you know gifts and stuff, or you know to fans and stuff like that. But I've actually met a couple of their
charitable
players
things,
that
yeah.
Like were having clocks made out of them, stuff like that.
Huh.
Byron Alvarez, who played for the Comets, was with the Portland Timbers when it was in the USL, and they were doing it back then. So, I mean, this tradition is cool and long,
so,
and he had some, and he was, like, getting clocks made out of them to give to have in his house and then to give to family member.
Well, they did it one for 1 point. So at the end of a win, they saw 3 off. They do it one for every point.
I don't know. I didn't
doubt
think
that.
They were. I didn't
I
think
doubt
they.
That.
I don't think you. I didn't think they did it for that. I mean, who do you give it to?
I guess it was just a special occasion drawing the
it
top
was
of
on
the table.
The broadcast.
Sporting Kansas
it.
City.
Did it, who the hell they give it to? I mean, I can understand giving it to the goal scorer. That's cool, but they give it to the
maybe the goalie. Yeah.
If it was for shutout, maybe.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Could be, but of course, the goalkeeper doesn't just do that. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
they do it for a man of the match.
Yeah, but how do you decide that? I
should
mean,
we
yeah.
if it was a draw and it was like a 5-5 game, there's no man of the match. You know?
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Again, I think it's just a participation trophy up in the Pacific Northwest
like,
kind
job,
of thing.
Good job, guys. 1 point.
Yay.
You get a log.
Orange slices and a log.
Okay, go now. Go make a clock out of it. Like, and picture this creepy room full of
juice boxes and toothpicks.
Yep.
Also, in the Portland game, Matt Beisler broke another record.
Maybe that's who the
they gave it to him.
They gave it to Matt Beisler.
I feel like the last five games, Matt Beisler has broken some attendance, some appearance record.
Appearance, minutes, all time, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. The last one was.
Doesn't he still have a couple more to go though?
Probably, but
this is why we need Mike Kuhn on.
But there. He did just get his 241st appearance.
Accurate partial information
for Sporting Kansas City, and that is all time. So that's
across all competitions. Yeah. Or is that just MLS? Yeah. Okay.
All time appearance leader. That's legit. The Casey kid.
We need to have a podcast that just discusses whether or not he's like the greatest player for Kansas City ever because of that sort of thing. But not now.
The goat. Goat discussions are very difficult. Should we talk about Dallas? The upcoming match?
We probably should.
It is Thursday, after all.
We'll just hang out. We'll just hang out and talk some more. We were talking about 50 Shades before we started.
Yeah.
Before we go to Dallas, and Allie mentioned it, or somebody mentioned it, but all the kids playing this last week, I don't think we discussed it back in the Minnesota game where we had, you know, Kazane had to come in and get the goal and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But the Real Salt Lake game, we got Busio a start. All four homegrown players played in that game. All four were on the field at one time. The whole pro pathway part is kind of starting to work.
Yeah, we touched on that, and I thought we weren't going to talk about it because it's tired.
No, that was what Allie was saying.
No, we don't listen to me. We're not talking about it.
I mentioned.
Cody, we're talking about it.
I'm happy for all of them.
I am too. And with Busio, what's been kind of cool, when he got his first minutes with Swope this year as well, got his first assist and, you know, all that stuff. I remember talking to him after that game and asking him about his nerves and things like that. So it's he's telling me all about how, I was a little nervous at first, but just after getting in the flow of the game, it's okay, so he's nervous for the USL Swope Park Ranger game that he's just getting in for a half. And then he's now just a couple months or weeks later taking the field with the senior team and starting. It's pretty cool. So
the pipeline is real.
It's real and it moves fast. I feel there is some cool stuff about Lindsay and Busio, both some cool stats that I had read that a year before their first MLS starts, they had been playing with their U academy teams against Salt Lake, and now they're taking the field for an Open Cup game just a year later, if that.
Yeah, just under a year before Busio and Lindsay were playing against the RSL Academy team at Children's Mercy Park.
Yeah.
I have photos of it, and they actually got smoked, too. They were not good in that game. The whole team, not saying those guys.
Right.
But, yeah, it was kind of funny. And then here they are playing Salt Lake in Salt Lake.
A latent function of calling up all of these or having these young guys come play for the first team is that also means that there were several academy players that got to play for Swope.
And that is all part of it, Cody. Good point. Swope's been using different academy players throughout the year, but now, especially since Kuzane and Lindsay have been consistently up there in Busio, there's been Harris starting up top for a while with Belmar being gone also. Mm-hmm. He's been starting it forward. Roman Knox started the last couple games for him in midfield, playing that eight role, I believe, and not doing too bad. I mean, he wasn't the stud of the game, but he wasn't doing bad, having stepped up that game. A couple other guys have gotten in recently too. So they're all getting that experience, and it's part of it.
Yeah, that's a very important part of that pipeline, because Busio and Lindsay, those guys came from elsewhere to join the academy. And if we are showing our academy players that they can play their first professional game, it's wonderful. They're doing it all right.
Yeah, it's all part of that pathway that, if you're in the academy and you can get time playing at Swope Park when you're 16, 17, 18, Roman Knox, I mean, he's 18, I think, and going to go to North Carolina. He's already committed to him. But what if they offer him a contract to play for Swope next year? So he could maybe stick around and be part of that next Kuzain yeah. kind of that role. So.
And I think Peter's done a great job making that choice a very attractive one for some of these players who it's like looking at guys like Shallowy and Kuzain, and it's like, yeah, you could go to college and play there and probably set yourself back a considerable amount. I think that there's a lot of argument that if you choose to do that when you have an option to sign a professional contract at a club like Sporting Kansas City, I think it's like a no-brainer. So.
Yeah, there's the going to college right now, if you want to be a pro, is probably not the right thing to do.
Mm-mm.
If you're in a development academy right now,
yeah.
it's probably not the right thing to do. Going to a development academy that has that connection to a USL team and a MLS team is the right thing to do. Going to college is still going to be the right thing for some people.
Right.
Well, if you're in an academy like Sporting Kansas City's, but I'm sure there are plenty of MLS academies that are a shell of what is going on here.
They're,
and going a couple years to school might be the better option for them.
Well, I would say no. Yes and no. You're right that there's some of them that are a shell compared to Sporting, Dallas.
Like I'm just thinking of like DC United. There's no way that they're
no.
Like they're
they
had,
really
which,
getting the hate lately, are they?
but which is so. A shame because they have so many good players in that area.
Yeah.
Okay. They should have a better academy, but what I'm saying is that while MLS academy may not be the right thing for like half of them or a third of them may not be very good, there are actual USL teams now that are having development academies and are sponsored with like FC St. Louis with Scott Gallagher, the development academy there. Although this is still the better option. They also have that option that they can sign with Scott Gallagher and play, or with FC St. Louis and play in the USL. You just don't have that MLS direct
connection.
Okay,
but isn't this conversation we're having, like, from the perspective of someone who's really good and they're confident that they're going to make it? Like, if you had a son right now who was having to make this choice, would you not advise him to go to school?
No.
Well, even we don't even say how good he is. Like this is someone you're like, what if you're doubting he could become, he'll make it in Major League Soccer? Even then you're saying go play in the USL instead of going to school?
I would be, it's a tough thing, right? And but there's some like decision point, okay? You're right about how good they are, but if you think they can play in the USL, there's a chance that they could play in MLS, right? I mean, yes, no.
I mean, maybe it's just because I never had to make the choice, but I feel like there's a difference being a career USL player and how much money you're going to make than if you're going to actually make it.
Oh, absolutely. There's a difference in how much money you're going to make completely. However, in USL, some of the top players are going to be making really good money, okay? Not $1 million Felipe Gutierrez money, but
right.
They'd be making
money. This is just the shift that America needs to make in order to be at a competing level. It's like, this is, you know, they need players who are going to make that decision to, you know, say no to 4 years of playing at a university with a coach who may be a terrible coach and is most likely not going to be a great coach, and then opt to do USL and work their way up through the pipeline. You know, it's not like football, where a huge part of going to the NFL draft is where you played in college.
Yeah.
Like America doesn't, USA, our collegiate system, D1, it's not the same situation. It's not like even basketball and baseball, like sports like that, where it's like, it's really like a huge part of it's like where you go to college.
You don't have to go for all four, do you?
No.
Yeah. The New York City guy didn't. He was only there for 2 years, wasn't he?
Espinoza didn't.
If you're
okay,
good.
Yeah.
Well, there's yes and no, okay? If you're going to college, you can leave, and like if the Generation Adidas players, mm-hmm. they come out early, okay? But they're also guaranteed money to go to school at some point also. But that's part of it, okay?
Is that what that means? That's cool.
So, but that's why there's also only a few of them each year. There's like less, it seems, I think there's less of them now than there was just a few years ago because there was more players in college. But now, because the development academy to MLS pathway is actually happening, those players are not going to college. They're staying and trying to make it. Now, But what we're talking about earlier, going to U.S., playing USL and going to college is not mutually exclusive. I mean, yes, you may not go to, you can't go get a degree from Duke when you're playing for, you know, Scott Gallagher or St. Louis FC
St.
Louis.
Like, Phoenix and DeVry are waiting for you.
Yes.
But, official sponsor of Major League Soccer.
But yeah, you can get a lot of that
official
coursework.
Official sponsor of Shades of Blue right now.
Oh, if only. But they can be getting that coursework out of the way, so if they fail, they can then go do something else, right? So there's options there, but I would not suggest somebody go to college if they think that they have the potential to play in MLS.
And let's talk about this factor, which
won't.
I think is huge. I don't know if the talent difference is so significant. I think the big difference is this, and Peter has spoken about this and numerous other people is when you're in that environment with an academy, you're learning how to be a professional. And you're witnessing professionals. You're interacting with them. You train in the same place.
Training with them sometimes,
yeah. That is a huge part of why you'd want to go into an academy instead of college, to learn to be a professional.
Well, it's not just you wouldn't go to an academy instead of go to college because it's the age difference.
Right.
The development academy.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
But staying and playing with the USL team
it
would be the difference of going to college. Like, these development academy guys have been learning to be pros. So, I mean, like Roman Knox, I mean, the guy we just mentioned that played for Swope last night, he's already been learning that. I mean, these guys kind of already have that knowledge because they've been with the academy for a year or more, right? The difference really is the amount of time you train. When you go to college, you play games for roughly 2 months.
Right, that's part of being a professional, is training like a professional. Yeah,
and
that's what I mean.
Train for like 4 months.
Umbrella thing, yeah.
Right? When you're in a development academy, you play for 10 months, a 10-month season. You train for that time. When you go to USL, you're still playing games or training for like 8-9 months.
Professional environment, yeah.
Cody's like taking pictures while I'm
talking. Panoramic.
I'm putting a story on Instagram.
So that's the bigger difference there. And you may be saying it. I'm just making it more clear, I guess.
But if you go away to college after being in that environment in the academy, you're going to lose it.
You're going to lose it. You're not going to have all that time for games and training and stuff like that. And that's the difference between a kid playing for a development academy and just playing for a club team, a regular club team, and then playing in high school. High schools are fine, but different high schools have different levels of coaches. So maybe your kid in – that's why a development academy went to 10 months and ruled out playing in high school, because that way a kid playing for Sporting can be trained all year, be getting good coaching, getting consistent coaching, being trained in different ways. They have nutritionists. They have, motion – running people telling you all these things of how to coach.
Motion and running people.
trainers,
Really
now, there
quality
are good
words.
Coaches in high school. There are good coaches in college.
There are, but there are also horrible coaches in high school. And
well, there's
horrible
some bad
coaches.
Ones at professional
and
level,
it's just
too.
A different level. It's just a different level. I mean, I know players that guys around my age who opted to do like the academy, and it's just, you get a different experience. Like, not to say that you couldn't have a great high school coach or you couldn't have a great college coach, but it's like that, what you said, like you're just not playing or training to the level or the amount that, like, you're balancing in college, you're balancing school, and you're balancing soccer.
Yep.
Those are your two jobs. They're training you to be a professional, just in a different way. They're training you to be a professional in the working world. Like, essentially, they're not teaching.
Well, let's not get into that debate.
Well, I mean, that's what you're most, I guess, are going to school for. They're leaving with a degree of some sort. If they're graduating, they've got a degree that could get them a job.
The hope
of
is that
some
they can leave and go get a job.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Now, the player that I would say is in your academy that, okay, it comes to decision to make a college decision or USL or whatever, is that person to me who, gosh, they've got some potential. They just haven't really grown into it yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe a change of scenery, maybe where they can go to a college team and be a leader and have to be a leader is maybe the guy that needs to go and do that. Just a thought.
So are we sure we don't want to talk about the failings of the American educational system?
Yeah,
we almost,
while we're here.
We almost got onto it there like a second ago. Almost.
Oh, there's lots of
that's a different,
there's
that's
lots
a
of issues
story.
We could discuss.
Okay, Dallas, U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah. Now that you guys know how we
talk,
feel.
Talk about Dallas.
Talk about hot. Oh, my God. They're on fire. Woo-wee.
Five unbeaten, or five wins in a row and eight matches unbeaten.
Yeah.
Across all competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Bobbert, are you scared?
No, as I said before the show, I just hate FC Dallas with a burning passion.
They don't
scare me unless we're in Dallas.
I don't hate Dallas.
I do.
I think they're a good team.
And that's part of the reason I hate them.
I hate Seattle and Portland and RSL. Okay. All
right.
And I'm starting to hate Atlanta, but I don't hate Dallas.
I do. I think it just goes with a trip to Dallas. It was just bad weather. The game kind of sucked. And had a bad feeling about them since then. But
Dallas pissed me off at the beginning of last year. Okay. I didn't really hate them before. They were just kind of like in that category of I don't like them, but I didn't hate them. But they really, really pissed me off at the beginning of last year. They were, I think, in CCL, and they brought a team up here to Kansas City that was pretty young. And they were time-wasting from the first freaking minute. The guys were going down with cramps 5 minutes in, and the keeper was slow walking the ball over and then changing the sides of the goal in the first 5 minutes.
That's all fun.
And the ref was not punishing them for it. And they just stalled through the entire thing and pulled out a draw. I mean, I know that they were doing
bastards,
what they thought they had to do, but I hate that kind of soccer. I think if you are so afraid to come into play, just don't show up.
That sounds like Blas Perez, FC Dallas. And once he left, my hatred for them left as well. Freaking Blas. Oh, he was the worst.
But they got Mauro Diaz back now in the fold, and 8 assists, 2 goals. So that does scare me, Cody. Mauro Diaz does scare me.
I'm scared. I'll say it. I think looking at how Sporting won that game, Open Cup at home against them last year in that quarterfinal, is not a happy night for Dallas fans or players. So I think they're going to come in with a little bit of chip on their shoulder. Not saying that's the only reason that I'm scared for them coming, but I think that adds a little extra motivation on top of this already hot streak.
Agree.
I'm just nervous because we don't know what kind of lineup Vermees will put out or can put out.
In PV, we trust, though.
In PV, we trust.
In terms of lineup.
I think he understands the importance of this game. But I have this question. Do you think FC Dallas takes the Open Cup as significantly as we do, with Lamar Hunt being their owner, the Hunt family?
Yeah.
You think so?
How many have they won?
That doesn't mean they don't care about it.
It kind of does. They've been a good enough team that they probably should have at least. Have they went to a final? I really don't remember right now. So
I don't recall they have. But
accurate partial information.
No, that wasn't even accurate.
That was just
partial.
That was a question.
But I get what you're saying. Yeah, they should be a more prominent force.
They should have been hitting a couple finals if they really took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they don't. I mean, but maybe they've just had bad luck or hit teams that took it seriously and lost those particular games. They came with a strong lineup last year, I seem to recall.
Right.
And they actually didn't even outplay Sporting most of that game, even though they were man up most of it.
Okay, so FC Dallas won in 2016.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Remember they were so like they were about to go for the treble.
Pretty recent.
Okay.
Pretty so recent. They were champions, then quarterfinals.
I don't claim to have a perfect.
And then semifinals in 2014 and quarterfinals again in 2013.
Okay. So that was my question though, was how serious are they?
Yeah, look at that.
Now we know. Okay.
So stats and info over here. I came up quick.
Good man.
But I also think that there's a potential that both teams are going to put out their best lineups because they both
they're
coming off of a week off. Mm-hmm. They both played last Saturday and now they also don't play again until, you know, so they both have these, you know, there's no weekday games, you know, sandwiched in between this. So I don't think that they're going to go easy with their lineups.
Yeah, it'll be lit on Saturday. It's going to be a good match.
Ooh.
So the question
with
is
the revenge factor and
it's gonna be the hunt good. Factor and the fact that this is Sporting's first time playing FC Dallas this season also kind of scares me a little bit.
Right.
Not saying that it would be less so if they had played them already, but just this is their first time playing each other this season. So the only thing that they can go off of is anything that they've scouted or seen from Dallas instead of, you know, that real time comparison.
Well, they've had the same head coach for years, so
yeah.
Like we have, so they probably know each other pretty well.
But every season's a little different. So
I think the bigger worry is just the fact that Sporting is still very knocked up.
Yeah. They're all pregnant. All the players beat are up, expecting. Maybe. They're
knocked
all
up.
Expecting.
That was Felipe. I don't know about everybody else, but
Felipe's due.
Knocked up was not the proper phrase at all.
No, it was not.
I just want to see if you'd catch it.
Speaking of Felipe, I'm keeping count here. We're officially 6 weeks in. We're a month and a half in.
Postpartum.
Into the 2 to 3 months that we were given
okay,
to
so
expect.
We're halfway.
So we're in the first trimester, right?
He had
halfway to the worst case.
He had his surgery on May 1st. It was literally May 1st. So.
And the good thing is he's starting to do a little work. So that doesn't mean he'll be back in a week, but he's starting to do some.
But he should, because we need him.
He's been doing fitness stuff. I mean, I know he's been doing fitness stuff, and he's been out watching training, but I know this week he actually started to do at least a little bit of stuff outside.
Okay, so we want to talk a lineup. What do you think Peter's going to do?
I have, like, no idea. Cause
well, we talked about the back line. We thought Amore would be in probably for Beezer. So Beezer's injury, though not serious, we don't want it to be exacerbated.
Yeah, why risk it if you don't have to? Mm-hmm. And Amore can play that position.
And if Amore can play, yes, that's key.
Mm-hmm.
Amore-Opara.
So we talking Lindsay, Amore, Opara, Zuzi?
Is Sinovic still out?
Or is he? I would consider him questionable. I know he was back to doing some training, but I just don't know if they would risk it yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Kyrie and Johan were both back doing training, but like when I was there, they trained about half the session and then worked with a trainer for half the session. So they were in like passing drills and some light scrimmage stuff, I think. But then they went and did some more scrimmage stuff and they took out the starters and so it was all the other guys. So they kind of went to the side and worked with a trainer at that point.
So is Zendejas probably going to – is this his competition?
You know, it kind of surprises me from past Vermees, but I kind of think it might be.
I think it is. I'm cool with it. Roll with him.
Okay, and then midfield, probably Ilya, Roger, and whom?
The only one left.
Did you just say Ilya, Roger, and – oh, Kraze? Why not? Yeah.
No. Well, maybe Krause.
He should return to training.
Yeah, but it will depend on whether they think he's worth risking. You know,
right.
Okay, well, then Duke Huzain. If it's even a question, then...
And it's the one of those two. I mean,
yeah, I feel like Huzain... My thing with Huzain is, as long as Ilya and Roger are out there, I think that, it's a...
Huzain won't hurt us, is that what you're saying?
No, and not that I think that he would, but I just think that they guide him so much while he's out there. Like, they're constantly, you know, almost basically telling him, like, the next move to make. Or they're very, you know, good about guiding him during...
Yeah, and I think it allows Roger to maybe, like, get into the action a little more.
Which he wants it. He showed that.
And Kraze on the bench if we need him late for a goal, maybe.
I want a goal from Roger on... Saturday night.
That would be nice.
It'd be awesome.
The kind of talking about that balance with if Kuzain's in there, and I'm going to do piss off Cody here, but I'm going to go back to the Portland game for just a second and looking at the passing patterns and stuff in that game. If you look at Lindsay and Kuzain and compare it to Zusi and Roger, it's really very almost exactly the same. It looks really, really close. But then if you throw Ilya into it, also, what you'll notice something is that Ilya never played on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
He was always center and to the left with Huzain. So you look at the passing and the defensive maneuvers and all that stuff. He gets his like from center to the left. So he, I don't know if it's because he was supporting Kazane a little bit extra or because Valeri was over there. I don't know which answer to that is. But that's one of the things I noticed when I was looking at those the charts or the
heat maps.
Heat maps, yeah.
Well, not the heat map, but the passing and defensive things. So,
right.
But yeah, in that.
It was like a line chart. No,
when,
so,
were you,
like
when were you reading? When did you see this? Why didn't you write an article? That's an article. That's
a busy
article.
Dude.
It's a good question, Cody.
Well, why didn't we talk about this sooner? That's quality analysis. We're looking for content here. That's quality analysis.
Because you're trying to rush me through the Portland game, man. You're like, it's old.
No, I mean, I'm saying if you did this.
You didn't even want to talk about the Portland game.
If you did this weeks ago, why didn't we talk about this weeks ago?
That was just a couple days ago. That would be the one Kuzain was in, you know? That was the part of the analysis. Right, Cody?
I see. I see.
So, anyway, now that we were giving each other shit again.
Yeah, I was just really happy we had quality analysis. I'm going to take that bit out, and we're going to put it on Twitter.
I would be
good
impressed.
Good idea.
But anyway, that's... I was talking earlier about, you know, if you looked at the passing pattern, I actually talked about that when we were talking about the Portland game earlier. Like, Shallowy was kind of on an island. There was not a lot of good quality passes in there, and he wasn't getting it. And that was, but part of all that was Ilya was shading to the left and that whole Christmas tree thing from Portland. So I don't know if that was part of it or Shallowy wasn't, they just couldn't get it to him or what, but that was all part of that. How the game went for Sporting. I'm not thinking of the right word there.
Well, I think one thing about this game this weekend, it's going to be more open. That's for sure. Because Dallas is going to come to play.
I would agree.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe Mr. Daniel could shine a little more in this one, a little more freedom up front.
He did score last time that they played.
Yeah, so.
Or, you know, in the Open Cup last year, so.
So you want Shallowy to start again at center forward?
I see him, Gerso, and Russell. Yeah.
I would,
with Shelton on the bench if he needs to come in late, or what's Rubio's status?
So why are you, so your team Shallowy is our center forward?
What other option do we have?
Belmar.
Yeah, but we already talked about he's not the man.
What?
Well, he had two games.
Kyrie Shelton, or what do you mean?
These guys have been in for what, three games in a row now? They've got a rhythm. They've been successful.
Well, actually, it hasn't been the same guys.
Did everyone just forget about Kyrie Shelton? Two or three.
The Salt Lake game, it wasn't even the same formation, remember?
Yeah. But
it was that weird 3-5-2.
Right.
Because I actually asked Peter that the other day, what he called that formation. You know, was it a 5-3-2 or 3-5-2? And he goes, oh, it was a 5-3-2. Or he could call it a 3-5-2. I mean, and he goes, yeah, I'd call it a 3-5-2. I said, well, how about a 3-5-1-1? Because they played Johnny under Belmar in that game. He goes, no.
Well, man, that should have been the narrative this whole time of has Shallowy overtaken Shelton?
I'm just saying that recent, without Kyrie in, these people have developed a bit of chemistry and they've been successful.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. When would they stop doing that? It sounds like you want to roll with Shallowy.
This is an Open Cup game.
So it's because it's an Open Cup game is why you're...
And these guys are recovering still from their injuries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much of it will depend on how they see those guys being fit. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah.
If Kraze is fit, he probably starts over Kuzain just for because of his experience-wise, okay?
Probably.
And as much as I like Kuzain and as much as I think he might be a player 5 years from now playing for Sporting and doing really well, he's not as creative right now as Kraze. Okay. A lot of his passes were not going in. Although he's a very good passer and he's very safe right now, which I think at being a 20-year-old, he did turn 20, right? So being that young in his first games, he's being very safe.
Sure.
And a lot of people look at him as being a 10, which he's not. Sporting doesn't really play with a 10. They play with a 6 and 2 8s.
Right.
So, well, I mean, seriously. Robert's giving me a look here.
Okay.
Even Felipe.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. Kraze is healthy and he's ready.
Even Felipe, I don't consider him to be a 10. He's
I agree.
He's like an 8.5.
Well, let's not go there, Thad.
So.
Me and Allie are over here whispering while you guys are fighting.
I know. Yeah. I know you guys are.
You guys was it something good? Fighting.
No, I was trying to get a video of Allie on her phone while we were doing a podcast.
I was reading soccer related tweets.
I was gonna get evidence of a fine, but I didn't push the button right.
You just tell me at the end of the season.
Yeah, we need to start putting tally marks on there. Okay. Is that enough for Dallas?
Probably.
Okay.
Where are we on time? Uh-oh. Allie wants to say something.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Dad was just taking a picture of Cody and I.
Let's talk about the World Cup.
Must be a good one.
Let's do it.
We're the United States. We got one.
Hey. Yeah. Hey.
We qualified for a World Cup.
We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet.
I mean, there's more teams coming in. If one team was going to get the automatic bid, which I don't think is going to be the case, but if one team was getting the automatic bid, it would be the country with
you're probably
60
right.
matches as opposed to 10 for the other two.
But part of me says, damn it, I want us to earn it.
They will. Yeah. I'm very confident about so Germany failed to make a World Cup, forgetting which World Cup, but two World Cups later was when they won, and they've been dominant ever since. And so I'm choosing to
okay.
look on the bright side. The yeah. bright side, the positive
side. I'm an optimist. The glass is half full.
All right.
We have two World Cup cycles to
figure
this out and usher in a
new
age. And
hey, we just drew France.
And then we can win it on our home soil.
Wow.
That would be so grand.
No,
8 years from now.
How old will,
I can't
will,
wait.
I hope I survive that long.
How old will Pulisic be? However you say his name. Is that a fine?
That's a fine, I think. Pulisic.
Christian.
How old is he now? 19?
Is he 19? So he'll be 27? He'll be in his prime.
Well, we see Gianluca Busio out there. That's all I know.
Busio and...
I really don't think he's in the conversation.
Lindsay.
But
why not?
Have you seen his name in the conversations?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Definitely.
Okay.
Do we see him right now in the conversations for being in the World Cup 8 years from now? Not exactly.
Okay, well, that's what I was saying.
But are we seeing him in the conversations for being the best 15-year-old in the country? Yes.
Okay.
When he was 15.
And he'll be playing in front of EPB, anchoring the back line.
Hey, I saw him today. He was at my work. Yeah.
What was he getting?
I didn't check him out. He was next to me. I just said, hey, Eric, how's it going? You know. Yeah, so.
Sounds like you were checking him out.
In a different way.
Not that way.
I saw a really good video of him with Tyler Adams and CCV, Cameron Carter-Vickers, and like all these other young guys. And it was just very endearing. All these, they were just like kids talking shit on each other. And like, it was very endearing. I'm happy for EPB. That was good to see him get those minutes.
He's a good guy.
So Cody, and, I know you like really follow the national team, the U.S. team. How do you think the young version of the Yanks did in this last
I liked
set?
It very much. I don't the reason I like it, I'm not saying I like it because it was a huge, wonderful performance from this team, but I like it because it was an American team. It felt like they were doing what was always difficult about American teams, like they might not be better than whoever they're playing, but they're tough and hard to play against, and they're gritty, and they can get results. They make it difficult for another team, and it felt like the Yanks again.
I would agree, and they did show moments of being really good at times, too.
Yeah.
Moments, and you could see flashes from these guys, who are all pretty young. So, like, when they played, what was the first game, Bolivia?
Yeah.
That was, like, their third team or something, so everybody's like, oh, big deal, they beat Bolivia, whatever. And then they lost in Ireland, but we've... U.S. has never, like, did well there. And then tied France, right? In France. So, you know, team going to the World Cup. It's, you know, and it's their main team when they're just doing a tune-up. So, I mean, I know it's not 100% serious because it's a semi-friendly, but they still played fairly well there. They got outplayed, but they played well considering that they were all the 23 and unders. And it's basically a U-23 team with a couple of old guys thrown in.
Yeah, and that... experience that one game is just I feel like did so much for all these young guys.
And
it was a good 90 minutes that'll go a long ways for all of them.
But just think how many guys like with some local ties, you know, could be in there. EPB, Busio, Lindsay, or you know, because he's played with the U-20s and stuff. Josh Sargent, who's the St. Louis guy.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Who,
I know that name.
Yeah.
another ginger, what up?
Another St. Louisan. So, all right.
You breed them well.
Okay.
Seems like there was something else we were supposed to talk about.
I had something I was about to say, and then I lost it.
Do we
it.
Think Kansas City will get a be able to host?
So I saw someone shitting on the idea that we were going to get one on Twitter today. And he was saying that there's not enough hotels. Is that a real thing in Kansas City?
If that's a problem, I will start building some tomorrow.
That's in the middle of changing big time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... If you were going to do it today, no. I mean, it would be tight. It would be less than what they want. Mm-hmm. But there's like... I forget how many number, because like Sly A. James, I know his name.
yeah, that's what he said at the presser.
But there's like some hundreds and hundreds of hotel rooms under construction right now.
And downtown, too. I mean, just seeing where I work, we share a space with an architecture firm, and I've talked to some of them about projects that they're involved in that are, you know, 5 years out,
right.
3 years out, even more, that are, you know, bolstering the downtown and surrounding. Like, it's going to be, I don't think that'll be an issue.
No, not at all.
And quite honestly, if I was going to a World Cup, I wouldn't need a hotel room downtown. I mean, you know what I mean? I would stay in Olathe or...
Yeah.
Olathe's a long ways away from the stadium. But.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, if you've traveled from Germany to come see your guys play against Egypt at Arrowhead, you're already, you know, so far into it, and we got Ubers and all that stuff. So, I mean, it'll be fine.
Yeah, but Sly also said that we need to find out how to get the people there without a car. So that part of it needs to improve.
Speaking of, what up, Kansas City? I just turned in my streetcar ballot this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet I'm one of like maybe 100 people in the entire city that did it. It's really sad. The way our government works and our voting process works is very disheartening.
We can discuss that democracy process later.
Okay, fine.
Education system.
We're going to go from a soccer show to a politics and solving world
and
hunger kind of show.
Let's talk about it.
You're joking, but that is actually the show that I want to do. So, okay.
Well, let's start one of those also. I'll come in and be your counterpart on every single subject.
Okay. All right. We need to start making some people mad. We're too logical and rational around here and well-rounded.
But going back to question earlier, was will US be an automatic qualifier for it? I would say yes, because when they go to 48 teams, right. They've already talked about CONCACAF getting 6 bids out of the 48. So that was one of, I don't know if that's a final plan or just the plan that was put up there, but if CONCACAF gets 6, they will almost surely give Canada, US, and Mexico the automatics.
I mean, how could they
the
not,
next three.
Really? How could they not?
The only time that a multiple country has hosted, they gave them both automatic bids.
South Korea and Japan, yeah.
Right. So they both gave them both automatic bids.
Right. I mean, you're hosting, but you're not in it? I mean, how shitty would that feel?
Yeah, they would. They could not do that. I mean, they just couldn't. I mean, I know FIFA, but that would be just not happening. So I would, especially with it being the 48 teams and CONCACAF, I think getting 6 out of it, you're still going to get Honduras, Panama, and Costa Rica or whoever in there, right?
What about this? If I was Mexico, I'd be so pissed, because quarterfinals on are all in the U.S. If I was Mexico, I would not be happy about that.
It's not surprising, though.
It's not, but if I was Mexico, I'd still be pissed.
Well, a lot of their fans were. I mean, there was people in Mexico calling for them to not vote for it.
But,
reality is, if they'll probably, the finals and stuff will probably be in places where it'll be very easy for Mexico to travel to. They're not going to worry about Canada, because let's be real.
Canada knows their place.
this is their chance to actually be in a World Cup again.
Right.
Even if
it's
six slots, they're probably not making it.
Ouch.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they can change in 8 years, but
this World Cup started today. Well, they're going to listen to this tomorrow morning, so began yesterday. Who is everyone picking? Thad and I are in the league that I created for our predictions, and Bob and Allie both forgot to turn in their picks.
They just didn't
life
care.
Man.
So who are you picking?
I really don't know enough to guess. I don't like to guess. Just I like to be knowledgeable, and you know, I haven't been in the NCAA pool for eons because I don't follow it anymore. Last time I was in it, I won it because I knew stuff. Right now, I don't know enough about the teams to make a guess. Sadly,
who would you root for since the U.S. is not in it?
The white and sky blue, baby. Viva la albiceleste.
I would have to agree.
Yeah. I think I picked Argentina to actually win it.
I'd like to see Messi go out on
top. I want to see it so bad. Yeah. So bad. I can't even tell you. I will cry real man tears if he wins the World Cup.
I hope, you know, Portugal is out as soon as they can be out. But Messi, I want to see win it.
Yeah, I will be rooting against Portugal almost every moment. But what about the craziness with Spain too? Firing the coach like two days before they play. This has got to be so weird too, because he gets hired by Real Madrid. He doesn't tell the Spanish Federation that he's being hired until 10 minutes before.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Like, it was shady the way he handled that.
I don't blame him for being mad, but at the same time, how many Real Madrid players are on Spain?
Yeah, that's right? Why I didn't think it was a big deal.
And then, so now they're going to be mad at their coach for having got fired and left them in, you know, a bad spot. Because even if the new coach is great, but that's still in a bad spot, right?
Right.
So now they're going to be mad at their coach that's taken over their club team.
Yeah, Spain went into the last World Cup with a lot of controversy. Everyone was mad at them for the Diego Costa switch. And now they're doing it again.
Just got to keep the storylines consistent.
I can't remember how I picked Spain, but I picked them to do pretty well in the pool.
They're just too talented group.
I think I would have probably dropped them a little bit if I had have picked after that happened.
You could have changed. I did.
I did not care enough to go do it. I'm just saying I would have, but I didn't.
Who'd you pick as top scorer?
That short Argentinian guy.
Ah, Sergio, me too. Dang, our brackets are going to be like the same. Sergio Aguero?
That's not who he
is. Oh, you're the little Argentinian is the one? Okay. I just got excited you said Argentinian.
And how come I just can't root for England? What is the deal with that?
The English don't even root for England.
I think that is true.
Well, no, I mean, really, I know a lot of, you know, it's like a lot of people like to think that everybody hates America, but that's pretty much how England's been forever. I mean, I've met so many English guys who blamed England for starting every war in the world, okay? Everything bad in the world that ever happened, it was because England either did it, started it, had the idea for it, or advised it.
Mm. Well, they did start America, so so they're definitely to blame for a lot.
So my wife is part English, and I always tell her that when we fight, it's because every single bloodline I've ever had has fought with England.
Gotcha.
You're like, this isn't between us anymore. It's between
Irish,
our
Scottish,
ancestors.
German, Italian, French.
No, the English will be a fun team to watch, but they're also pretty young, and it's England. They just always, no one has any faith in them. They always let people down. So
They'll look really good until they bomb.
They look good until they don't.
Or run into Argentina, because they always do, it seems.
Or Germany.
It's kind of funny because I just met an English guy the other day who's a agent actually, and he was talking about how he was in the English army and fought in Argentina, and he hates Argentinians.
The Falkland Island War, by chance?
Yes.
There you go. History knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So yes, he fought in the Falklands, and
okay,
he's hated Argentinians ever since. So I'm like, you don't represent any? No.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Not really.
Allie hasn't had any thoughts this whole time, so I'm assuming she's done.
I'm not going to lie, for the last 15 minutes,
You want me to throw out a bomb?
Yeah.
Since Allie's not in the mood?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be better for us to lose Saturday night to have a better chance for the Supporters Shield?
No.
Okay.
All right. This is actually an article that I would like to write, but I probably won't get it done before the Dallas game, so I'll try to do it after if they win. But here's why I would like them to actually – there's a lot of years I want them to focus on MLS Cup as much, if not more, than the Open Cup. But this year, I actually have completely changed my mind and want them to focus on the Open Cup more than even the MLS Cup.
Why?
Why?
Now, you didn't say anything about Supporters Shield there.
I don't have any faith in that anyway, Supporters Shield. We had that discussion earlier in the year that, you know, are they going to win the Supporters Shield? I was the one that said no, remember?
Okay. All right. So carry on.
I think that was it, because we're not going to win the supporters
cup. Bigger than MLS Cup. Why?
Because I want to be the first MLS team to win 5 and be the – there's two old teams that have won 5 Open Cups. And I would like to be the first MLS team to do so.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
That's
but
fair.
So Cody, supporter shield. What are you talking about?
Just don't buy into the idea that it's gonna really like hinder the team to play. Like, what is it? 3 more games this year if they keep winning.
Yeah.
Is it quarterfinals after this?
I just don't buy that it's gonna like really hurt them. So.
I know that if they win, this
especially
game,
with as deep as we are this year.
We are a deeper team.
Mm.
Only if they're not injured.
And
good point.
Well, wouldn't Felipe Gutierrez coming back kind of line up with the Open Cup final? Like, would it, or would he still be out?
Si, señorita.
I'm looking at the Montreal game in the, like, last day of June as when I want him back.
That's a home game?
What, you want to give him an easy game?
No.
Is it Montreal turf?
It's
really not.
Oh. No, that's a grass.
Wait, end of June.
He's a grass,
July.
Okay.
June.
Pretty soon.
Well,
like
they said 2 to 3 months, and it's been a month and a half. 2 more weeks.
Sometimes
he's being optimistic.
Like it's
he's being optimistic. Glass half full. He said
his operation was the very beginning of May, like 3rd of May.
No, it was May 1st. I looked it up.
So,
Uno de Mayo.
May 1st.
Uno de Mayo.
I mean, I know if Sporting wins this game, that the next 2 Open Cup matches, if they were to advance further, would be like their schedules would get tighter. But it's like Cody said, it's like, okay, that's 2 games, 2 extra games, and when it's over, you won the Open Cup. So it's like,
that's what I'm seeing. Be serious and go for it.
I'm here for it.
All these youth, it's rolling. Let's just keep rolling.
The youngins.
Okay.
Get them out there.
I'm in.
I don't think it hampers MLS Cup. I think it hampers Supporter Shield because you are more likely to not do as well in the games before and after those particular games. Okay. Just either congestion, a little bit of fatigue or an injury or resting a player or whatever. You're a little bit less likely to. But again, I would love to win a Supporter Shield. I mean, because Sporting hasn't done that since 2000, right?
I know, and it's a weak – the West seems weak this year, and it seems like we could do it.
It's the best chance they've had in a while.
While all the Eastern teams, while better than the West, while they all beat each other up, in theory, one good team from the West should be able to slide in there.
Yeah. Well, let's turn it down a notch.
That's how
we
the
still
Rebels
need to get home playoff game and – I don't think winning the Open Cup will destroy that this year with the depth we have and the weakness of the conference.
But that is the risk, is that you're going to knock yourself down in positions.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Because of congestion, fatigue, injuries, et cetera.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Okay.
2 more games and we're playing with young guys. And the MVP, and again, I want to say this every other sentence, and it's all without the MVP.
Okay.
Felipe.
Thanks for that confirmation, Ali.
I know, that just looked like...
I wanted to be...
I know. You guys are just going
to
fight about it.
That flashes confusing.
He was
going to
say what, Kyrie?
In the studio.
What? What do I do?
You like, as the producer and the host of the show, you look around to the faces of those in the studio to give you something back. And Thad just looks at me with weird faces all the time. Confused faces when he knows what I'm talking about.
No, I'm trying to get you to react.
He does that to me, too. He doesn't do it to everybody except for Ali.
I think
you and me.
His set face is just a confused face.
No, it's not. It's the devil's advocate. He said it himself. The devil's advocate.
This show would be crap if we all agreed, right?
True.
Yeah, you're wrong.
And I'm trying to get you to validate some of those positions. That's why I'll go, huh? Like what?
Okay.
We're supposed to. That's what he tells his wife, too, when he's really not listening to her.
Yeah.
What?
He's like, you're English, and I'm just trying to validate your position.
Damn English woman. Yeah, she's part Scottish. So
she doesn't listen to this, does she?
No.
Okay.
I will tell her everything, though. I am as honest as possible a person as a husband, but I have always told her also, if you ask any question, I will answer it, but make damn sure you want an actual answer before you ask it. If you say, honey, did you ever? Make sure you actually want to know that. Don't expect me to lie to you to save your... No.
Okay, ending on Thad's rant about marriage.
It's not a rant about marriage. That's honesty, baby.
I'm making change.
We've got a year, a year. We have a week to get another podcast in. I'm not going to promise one this time because I lied last time. But
you're not going to promise?
No proms. Well, we've got a week to do it. We'll figure it out. Even if it's not the starting four.
Come hell or high water, we will get you a podcast. That's what we do.
I look at Thad for something, and he just stares back at me.
You,
quality radio.
Did you want me to say something?
Say something prophetic, Thad.
The spot on impression of me. Thank you for that, Allie. Thad, say something prophetic.
Allie's way smarter than you.
That's not very
prophetic.
That is
something I'm totally clipping and putting in my sizzle reel.
It wasn't prophetic. It was very obvious, but okay. All right.
Today I was definitely not smarter than anyone in this room.
No, you still were.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Okay. Cody and I actually agree on a lot of things, right, Cody?
Yeah, we agree on the macro, disagree on the micro.
So, and by the way, if you have any suggestions on what we can do better,
us. Write them down, throw it away. I don't care.
And hey, I played indoor soccer last week for the first time in years. Anybody has any remedies for calf cramps? Let me know.
He was limping in the studio tonight.
Water and bananas.
Somebody told me magnesium. I was like, what? Maybe.
Isn't that in bananas? Potassium. Isn't there magnesium
sure
in there too?
Magnesium
probably.
In there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, we'll look that up also.
Bob will be eating a lot of bananas tonight, and we will be getting ready for Saturday. Oh, should we tell?
I think I'm going to Five Guys, actually.
What?
Oh, okay. If you're a tailgater, let us know that you're going to be tailgating. Allie and I are going to try something.
Yeah, a special mission. So comment if you have a tailgate spot, and we're not going to leak any other.
Except that you should bring like at least two extra beers.
At least.
Guess okay. Dad and I can't get in on this. Don't we?
No, you cannot. Okay, till next week. Go sporting.
Go sporting.
What? Got it. Don't seem so tough. And three on goals ain't all that rough. Our skipper has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop by Bud Buttings. Got me drinking. My Bud Buttings. Got me drinking. My Bud Buttings. Got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood.